Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, where visitors can experience campus and learn about Luther's 60-plus academic programs, like engineering science, nursing, and music education. luther.edu/visit.
Support for WPR comes from the Dram Corporation, manufacturers of commercial tools, equipment, and systems for greenhouse and nursery professionals for over 80 years. More information is at dramm.com.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 30th. And we will talk this hour about the media coverage we're seeing so far in the 2008 presidential race of the candidate's wife. We'll talk about the role of the spouse on the campaign trail with a woman who knows it well. She is Cindy Schultz, a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who is married to U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio and spent many a day on the campaign trail with him, being introduced as his lovely wife. That's the title of her book about the race leading to her husband's victory in the fall of 2006 and his lovely wife, a memoir from The Woman Beside the Man. She continues to write for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and recently wrote about her concerns about the media coverage we're seeing so far about the women on the campaign trail in the 2008 race for president. Citing partial agreement with a recent piece by Peggy Noonan, the former speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, who wrote in the Wall Street Journal, "It's getting catty out there. Jerry Thompson is a trophy wife, as is Cindy McCain. Michelle Obama is too offhand and irreverent when speaking of her husband. And Judith Giuliani is a puppy-stapling princess. Oh, and don't forget Hillary Clinton's cleavage." Okay, so Hillary Clinton's not a candidate's wife this time, but why are we seeing this kind of media coverage of the women on the 2008 campaign trail? And what kind of coverage is warranted? Do you welcome hearing the views of the candidates' wives, or are you noticing the cattiness of the coverage? We welcome your participation as we go along. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org and include your first name and your community with your email. Connie Schultz is a syndicated columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Creators Syndicate and Pulitzer Prize winner for her commentary in 2005. She is the author of And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from The Woman Beside the Man. And Connie Schultz joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Are you still introduced as his lovely wife?
Only by someone who hasn't heard of the book title yet. And unfortunately for that poor soul, when he does, an awful lot of women start laughing in the audience. So no, that's not happening too often these days.
So do you did you get in trouble with the media, with the press, for saying something provocative on the campaign trail?
I don't recall ever having that happen, but I think my situation was fairly unique in that I was a columnist at the biggest paper in the state, and I took a leave of absence during my husband's race, but I think journalists didn't quite know what to do with me because most of them knew me or knew of me, and we would tend to talk shop when we saw each other. So it gave me the opportunity to have a fairly different perspective in that regard. The title, though, of course, comes from how you're introduced, particularly by old party hands and mostly men who are organizers of events, and how they introduce you. And so that was certainly the stereotype. And I do want to also say, you said I agreed in part with Peggy Noonan. The only thing I agreed with her is that it had gotten catty. Peggy
right.
Noonan and I do not agree on much.
Yeah.
And you were reading a quote from her column that I had excerpted in my column.
Right. And I was going to say that you agreed with that the catty part, but you disagree with her views on how a potential first lady should conduct herself on the campaign trail.
And she was basically describing your 1950s nightmare for most wives in terms of, you know, being seen and not heard and towing the line and making sure everybody knows you love your husband but don't ever actually say it because they don't want to hear you say it. I mean, it was just a bunch of nonsense. And I did mention also in terms of the Hillary Clinton cleavage thing, I said, look, if anybody is writing about my cleavage when I'm 60, I'm throwing a party and wearing a granny thong because I just think that whole thing was ridiculous.
Well, why do you think this is happening, that we're seeing this kind of coverage?
I think you're seeing real wives, and I'm not suggesting other wives weren't real wives. These wives feel free to be themselves. on the campaign trail. And I think that's a welcome relief from the stereotypical behavior that they were often coached to engage in decades past. You know, for example, Michelle Obama and Elizabeth Edwards are both attorneys who have practiced, and they know how to articulate their views, and they certainly have their own views. And they've made it clear that on occasion, they don't always agree with their husbands on something. And I think most wives can immediately identify with that. You know, what wife always agrees with her husband?
Mm-hmm. And you say that's, you know, that's fair game on the campaign trail if Elizabeth Edwards disagrees with John Edwards on gay marriage, for example.
I think exactly. If she's going to say something publicly like that, it's, you know, I hate to say it's open season, but you know what I mean by that. There's every reasonable effort made to analyze and scrutinize what she said, and I understand that. I think when you look at what happened to Michelle Obama last week, however, when she was making simply a comment about how she wants to be home with her daughters most of the time, and Fox News, for example, tried to construe that as her attack on Hillary Clinton for having a career. I mean, that was just absurd. That isn't at all what Michelle Obama meant. And I do worry that this kind of coverage quickly devolves into, let's cover the catfight that does not exist, the catfight that is a horribly stereotypical way to describe two women disagreeing to begin with. That's what worries me, is that sort of thing. And calling Fred Thompson's wife a trophy wife, you know, I defended her because she's 40 years old with two children. I mean, I think if anybody's got an issue, and some do, and I realize that, it's because he's so much older than she is. But she's not in her 20s, and she should not be diminished in that way by that horrible term. She's had a career of her own and married later.
We're talking with Connie Schultz. She is author of And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from the woman beside the man. She is married to U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or an observation from the media coverage of the women on the 2008 campaign trail, wondering what you think of the coverage we are seeing when it comes to Judith Giuliani, Michelle Obama, Elizabeth Edwards, Jerry Thompson, Cindy McCain, and others. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 30th. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson in for Ben Marins. What can economics show us about everyday life? Plenty, according to John's guest after 5, who explains how to use fundamental economic principles to get more of what we want in life. Talks with the author of Discover Your Inner Economist after 5 o'clock. We're talking with Connie Schultz, who is a syndicated columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She is also the author of And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from the woman beside the man. We're talking about the media coverage that we are seeing these days of the spouses of presidential candidates, and wondering what is fair and what is not, and whether it is too catty. 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? Have you noticed this? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I wanted to ask you, Connie Schultz, if you noticed, you say that maybe it's the women journalists who are doing too much of this. Is it primarily women journalists doing this?
I don't know if it's primarily women journalists. What's disappointing me is that any women journalists have been doing this. In particular, I think of immediately the Vanity Fair piece this month on Judy Giuliani. And I went through it, combed through it, and I counted more than 40 anonymous references in a real hit piece on her. And I know that this will probably, can't imagine this is shocking to anyone to know that people who used to work for Giuliani or friends who don't like her will say all kinds of things if they're granted anonymity. And I just think that's irresponsible journalism. And I am disappointed more when it's a woman journalist, because part of what I've been arguing for quite some time as a columnist and then as the wife of a candidate was that if more women were covering politics, more Americans would be voting. you see a real difference often when women are writing about campaigns because they really get into the substance and focus far less on the horse race aspects of a race, you know, the polling and the he said, she said mm-hmm. stuff. And so I'm disappointed. And I realize that I'm asking of women journalists, I'm asking them to heed a higher standard. But I have decided that I've made my peace with that. That's exactly what I'm asking women journalists to do, because this is all new terrain in politics. These prominent wives who have their own campaign staffs and who are out there on the trail making their own speeches on a regular basis, this is new territory. And what better time than to bring in more women journalists? And I don't mean you cut these women any slack in terms of what they say about policy or about their husbands, but I do think we need to keep it focused. And let's elevate the discussion, please.
Yeah. Why do you call the Vanity Fair piece a hit piece?
Well, it is. Have you read it, Joy?
Well, most of it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember one nice thing anybody said about her except that she clearly loves her husband. That was it. And it just casts her in such a horrible light. And I don't know her. I've never met her. I'm not saying some of these things aren't true. What I'm saying is when all you are quoting are people who are, and there were maybe two or three, I think, named sources who said anything on the record negatively about her. Everything else was, and you don't know if these are two staff people who've been quoted 40 times or 30 people who've been quoted, because one is not distinguished from another except as former staffer, former employee, former friend, and that's not fair journalism, period, in any publication, and I expect more of Vanity Fair than that.
Yeah, it portrayed her as some sort of ambitious social climber, that type of thing.
Well, and I remember, for example, talking about how her husband didn't really care about the wedding, but she wanted to go all out for a wedding. Well, there's a shocking revelation that, yeah, you know, brides care more than the grooms about weddings.
And that she wore a tiara, that she considered herself a princess.
Right. Yeah. I just don't think what does that have to do with his running for president?
Yeah. What did you make of the coverage of Elizabeth Edwards calling into the Chris Matthews program when he was talking to Ann Coulter?
Well, I'll tell you really honestly, if I had had her ear mm-hmm. right before she made that call, I would have advised her not to, because she gave Ann Coulter a whole nother 24-hour news cycle. And I've been asked sometimes why I don't ever take on Ann Coulter in my column, and my response is always, I don't want to give her another inch of ink. I don't want to give her another second of attention. I just think what she puts out there is so vile. But Elizabeth was really upset. It was definitely orchestrated. Elizabeth was waiting. Apparently Chris Matthews knew that Elizabeth was waiting for this to happen on the air, and so he goaded Ann Coulter into saying something about John Edwards, which gave Elizabeth the opportunity then to call. Having said all that, and being the wife of a candidate before and loving my husband just as she loves hers, I understand her rage. I understand her outrage over some of the things Ann Coulter has said about her husband. And she certainly did get coverage for what she did, which I assume is what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. There was some coverage, though, a commentary that, well, Elizabeth Edwards must wear the pants in that family kind of thing.
Oh, you know, that is just, how silly is that? She's defending her husband. She was upset, and she put in a phone call. I mean, her husband's stumping all over the country campaigning for himself. I don't think anyone can make a legitimate argument that John Edwards can't fight his own battles. But again, what is that? It's like Richard Nixon saying in the story that Catherine Seeley wrote in the New York Times this weekend when he watched Hillary Clinton campaign, and he said, you know, you got to be careful. If the wife looks strong, the husband looks like a wimp.
Yeah, certainly Hillary Clinton did back then make a ton of news when she said, I'm not just going to stand by my man and bake cookies,
right,
or something along those lines.
Well, and what some of the press did was interpret that to mean she was slamming her husband's opponent's wife, which isn't what she intended. She was simply describing for herself, in unfortunate language as it turned out, that she, you know, her idea of supporting her husband was involved more than just staying at home. And she's acknowledged many, many women stay at home. I was a stay-at-home mom at one point, and then I was a single mother for 11 years before I married my husband. I mean, women do perform all sorts of roles, often in the same lifetime. And she was not, by any stretch of the imagination, trying to criticize, I believe it would have been Laura Bush, right? And I'm sorry. Who would that have been back then? I don't even remember now.
Barbara, probably, right?
She was. Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. And she wasn't saying that. That wasn't what she meant. But journalists who were willing to run with that and make that a campaign issue.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about this story involving Michelle Obama. She did make a comment about, you know, you need to keep one's house in order if you expect to keep the White House in order. And then went on to say, I plan to be able to be home to put my children to bed, something along those lines.
I actually have the exact quote if you want me to read it. Mm-hmm. She said, one of the most important things that we need to know about the next president of the United States is he somebody that shares our values? Is he somebody that respects family? Is he a good and decent person? Our view was that if you can't run your own house, you certainly can't run the White House. So we've adjusted our schedules to make sure that our girls are first. So while he's traveling around, I do day trips.
Mm-hmm.
That was the sum total of that quote.
And that last part was edited off of the sound bites.
Well, and Fox News, Fox and Friends showed a picture of Mrs. Obama with Hillary Clinton, you know, against another, juxtaposed against the picture of Hillary Clinton, and the headline was, "The Claws Come Out." And I'm trying to see that in this quote how anybody can interpret that she was talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't just Fox, though, was it? Or was it just Fox?
It was not just Fox, but that was the example that Catherine Seeley used in her story. I remember seeing it as an AOL alert, I believe. I'm not sure. I remember signing on and seeing something, or else it was a Google alert very quickly. And I just started looking at these quotes, and I thought, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
That is not what she meant.
Yeah. Is some of this, though, just the media looking for the fight, be it a cat fight or not, looking for the controversy?
Oh, I think that there is that. I think that's part of the problem with your typical political coverage. It's early, too, don't forget, Joy. I mean, it's way earlier than we usually cover presidential races. And so we're looking for things to cover because there's not a lot of real news going on right now.
Yeah. Is it real news to the views of a candidate's wife? Is that something the public wants to know?
If she's out there stumping for her husband, I think it is. I think it's fair. And again, Catherine Seeley's piece, for example, in the New York Times on Sunday, I thought was a well-done, well-written piece, and it was fair. And it was talking about the changing role of candidates' wives, particularly presidential candidates' wives. And they are auditioning for First Lady, let's be honest about that. I mean, they're not. It's a very different situation from mine, for example. I think I would say at a state level, it's more like the governor candidates and their wives, because the wife is typically, in some ways, auditioning to be First Lady of the state. So we do have, a reasonable interest in who these women are because they will be representing the country.
Yeah. And again, it happened in when Bill and Hillary Clinton were running for the White House. It had when he said, "You're when you vote for me, you're voting for Hillary too. You'll get two for one." Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then Rudy Giuliani made a similar comment about his wife Judith. Something how maybe she'll sit in on cabinet meetings, and that caused a lot of outrage.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because if you and I could think about the marriages that we admire among our own friends and colleagues. I don't know about you, but for me, a man married to a strong wife, I tend to trust the man more because he's picked a real life partner in his life and in his marriage. And I don't find it unusual. I suppose the difference is you don't go around trumpeting what she'll be attending because then people feel free to attack that. But do any of us really doubt that the wives of prominent men aren't weighing in on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and then continue talking with Connie Schultz. She is a columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She's also the author of the new book, And His Lovely Wife, which details her life on the campaign trail with her husband, U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. 1-800-642-1234. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday morning, August the 30th. And we're talking this hour about why political spouses are such big news these days and why we are seeing so much negative coverage of the wives on the campaign trail. Maybe you've noticed some of this. It's being referred to as catty coverage, that spouses are getting their claws out, so to speak, talk about whether they are trophy wives or whether what they're wearing and whether they're showing cleavage or whether they're much younger than their husbands, that kind of thing. Have you noticed this? Is this fair coverage or not? What do you want to see when it comes to the candidates' wives or spouses? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, as we examine the role of the candidate's wife and how the media are treating the wives of the major party candidates on the 2008 presidential campaign trail. We are talking with someone who knows that life well. She is a, or was a, candidate's wife. She is Connie Schultz. She is married to Ohio U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown. She wrote a book about that experience. It's called And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from the woman beside the man. And she's also a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And she wrote a recent piece urging journalists, especially women journalists, to knock it off when it comes to the catty coverage of the women on the campaign trail. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts, your questions, your observations. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. And include your first name and your community with your email. Marta in Oshkosh is with us. Hi, Marta. You're on the air.
Good morning. First of all, I think this coverage is reflective of how utterly childish we've become as a nation. A lot of it I blame on what we would, what you could call quote-unquote reality shows that people spend their time watching, for God's sake. But I find this whole batch of candidates' wives quite refreshing. They're being marvelously human. And to kind of push a catfight between Mrs. Obama and Hillary Clinton, where one is the mother of school-age, grade school-age children, and the other is a mother of a woman who's postgraduate, for God's sake, that's really ridiculous. I can remember growing up, the main quality of a candidate's wife was what I have come to call pre-mortem rictus. I mean, God, all they had to do was sit there with this fixed smile. I swear, if I'd been a dentist, I could have made millions by having a special mouthpiece created just for them. I never felt so sorry for human beings as those poor women paraded around and never allowed to be human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that adoring look you're referring to, Marta, that we often would see.
Well, you expected somebody from the dog pound to come. I mean, it was a look that you expected from a faithful pooch, not another human being.
So do you think, Marta, it's fair game to point out the age difference between the male presidential candidate and his wife?
Not really. That's their business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you would really have fun with it if it was reversed.
Oh, Marta, boy, you're right about that.
I'm telling you, the good old double standard is as alive and well as it's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think anybody who reads or watches any TV with any kind of thought given to it can think otherwise. I mean, what's this fuss over Hillary having cleavage? Any woman with two boobs is bound to create cleavage.
And, you know, Hillary's cleavage isn't the only cleavage getting attention on the campaign trail. That's being said about Cindy McCain.
Yeah.
And it's being said about another, is it Jerry Thompson, I think, that
you
know, point out her clothes all the time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of her, I've noticed when people speak of their husband, they talk about the role he plays on television as though this were a characteristic of him as a candidate. And I think, my God, people, I could play a basketball player on television, and I'm 5'2". I mean, you know, camera angles can do all kinds of things. But I just worry about this country. I told my son the other day, I said, what this country needs is a great, gigantic tube of Preparation H. We suffer for such a bad case of hubris, I don't think it's curable.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all your observations, Marta. She's observed a lot, hasn't she, Connie Schwartz?
Well, not only that, you listen to Marta. Marta, is it safe? I don't know if you want to give your age or not, but I'm assuming you're over 30.
Oh, double that and add 10, then you come up with 70.
This is what I love. I think Marta is not alone. This is why I have hope for America, because of women like Marta. Because Marta is not what some would have you believe is, I mean, you're right in the age range where you're supposed to want that frozen wife, and isn't that absurd? Of course you don't want that.
Good God, no. I grew up and married, had four kids, got a job as a Kelly girl, and wound up buying the business.
Wow. So, you know, this is what I was talking about earlier, Joy. Most women would prefer to see real live wives up there. It feels real to us, doesn't it, Marta? You can't identify with somebody who's in this frozen position on stage, always adoring her husband. That's just not your classic wife.
No, it's like when I go through the New York Times fashion magazine they put out periodically, and I look at the garb, and I thought, oh, yes, I could really mop the kitchen floor in that. Actually, I'd like to mop the kitchen floor with that.
Right.
Marta, you need your own show. That's very good. Well, is it a whole lot different, do you think, Connie Schwartz, this summer than it has been in presidential elections past?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question it is. If you just count up the number of stories already that have been written about candidates' wives, in that respect, it's definitely different. And we're doing the coverage, as we mentioned earlier, it's happening sooner. Because they're campaigning sooner, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I know some people are complaining that it's too early, they don't want to think about who's going to be the next president, and quite frankly, I wish they thought every day about who's leading their country. I think we'd have different leaders in place right now if we had given more thought to that. So I don't see that as an issue, but I don't think there's any question the coverage is different.
Yeah, I certainly have. There's a whole lot more. I mean, I wouldn't probably be able to name every single spouse of a candidate, and there are so many of them.
Right. Well, yes, right.
That and I didn't know though that even I didn't even know Dennis Kucinich was married. I thought he was trolling for dates. Remember,
he was trolling 2 years ago, Joy. Trolling's over. He now has a very young, very attractive, smart wife named Elizabeth from England, actually.
Yeah, and she is much, much younger, it was pointed out.
Yeah, there's no way around that one. She's dramatically younger.
But I do remember in, say, the last presidential election, the coverage of Teresa Hines Carey as being quite negative in many ways.
It was, and I thought it was unfortunate. I think maybe, here's what I'm wondering, is if that coverage has made a difference in terms of some are not quite willing to go that far, time will tell. But she, you know, in person, she was definitely warmer, more personable than she was portrayed publicly. She was not comfortable with this public role, and I can certainly identify with that. I mean, it's a challenge. You know, you go from being in your private marriage to being expected to give 6-7 speeches a day, often, and that's a real challenge for a lot of people, particularly women who are not used to doing that. Let's face it, we have not in this country given women a lot of opportunities to be center stage in any public forum. And so this is all new territory for women. And one of the reasons my book is dedicated to every woman who ever felt anonymous, because I think that's true of most wives of men of any prominence. And as I've said before, you don't have to be married to a politician to get introduced as and his lovely wife. If you're married to the local choir director, you're going to get introduced that way at some point.
Now, we are talking with Connie Schwartz, who is married to U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. She wrote a memoir of her time on the campaign trail. It is called And His Lovely Wife. We're talking with her about being a politician's wife, but also the coverage we are seeing of the spouses on the presidential campaign trail, the somewhat catty coverage. We hear about Michelle Obama supposedly being catty to Hillary Clinton. We see a lot of coverage of the clothes that Hillary Clinton wears, or for that matter, Cindy McCain and Jerry Thompson. And we hear about whether Elizabeth Edwards needs to keep her mouth shut. All sorts of negative coverage about the wives of the presidential candidates. Have you noticed this? What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Why are we seeing this? As far as you're concerned, 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, we'll talk about the career of Idaho Senator Larry Craig and how many are calling for him to resign after his controversial behavior in an airport bathroom. So we'll talk about the politics of all that and morality and the GOP. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking with Connie Schultz, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, talking about her column about showing concern over the catty coverage of the presidential candidates' wives, the coverage we're seeing. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her, 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. And a number of calls are coming in at the moment. Connie Schultz, I wanted to ask you, though, briefly about your different last name than your husband. Did that pose any problems on the campaign trail?
Well, Joy, as you probably know, we we'd only been married a year and a half when Sherrod ran, and I just turned 50. I was in my late 40s when I married Sherrod, and Sherrod is 54. So I earned my living as Connie Schultz. I've been Connie Schultz for a very long time. It seemed kind of silly to me to even, it wasn't even a consideration to change my name. But particularly some men had problems with it on the campaign trail. My favorite was when I got introduced as Candy Schultz instead of Connie Schultz. I mean, at that point, nobody even cared what my name was. I found a way to explain it that finally ended the debate. When at first I would just explain that we'd been married only a short time, but that didn't seem to cut it with people. And then I was down in southern Ohio in April of last year, or early May, right after my father had died. He died at age 69 of a heart attack. And my mother had already died at 62. I mean, I come from the working class, and my parents just wore themselves out. And I was introduced, not even by name. The man got up and said, well, Sherrod Brown's wife's here, but she's a woman who won't change her name, so here she is. And I'd really finally had it. So I got up and I introduced myself. I said, my name is Connie Schultz. And then I talked about Jane and Chuck Schultz, my parents, and how my dad worked in a factory for 36 years in a job he hated every day of his life, and how my mother had been a nurse's aide who used to come home with bruises on her arms, and then she was a hospice home care provider. And I said, my parents were two people who thought they were nobodies, but they were going to raise four somebodies. And they raised all of us and sent us to college. And they wore their bodies out so that we'd never have to. And I'm really proud to have this name. And so the man who had introduced me that way came up with tears in his eyes, and he said, I love the name Schultz. Don't ever change the name Schultz. So at that point, I had finally decided that it was not enough. You can't just get up on the platform and constantly parrot your husband's opinion. Certainly I couldn't, after being used to getting paid to give my opinion. But more important than that, I was still a full-fledged human being in my own right. And I had deep roots that made me proud of who I was and where I came from, and was part of the reason I could fall in love with Sherrod, you know, who'd been fighting for the people I come from all these years.
Yeah. You did wear a button for a while, didn't you, that said something like, Connie Schultz will vote for Sherrod
Connie
Brown.
Connie Schultz support Sherrod Brown, right. Yeah, that really went over big. Who's Connie Schultz? I got asked a lot. Yeah. Also, a lot of people didn't know who Sherrod was at first. And Rush Limbaugh, when Sherrod's primary opponent dropped out of the race, Rush Limbaugh got on the air and said that my husband's name was Sherrod Brown, and that he had gotten out, he was in the race because Democrats wanted an African American.
Oh,
my husband happens to be white.
God.
And then in the same week, Fox News got on and said that they wanted Sherrod Brown because he's a woman. So I got up in front of 150 women, had to give a speech that week, and I said, "So you see, I'm actually more liberal than you thought I was. I'm actually married to an African American woman." It was just ridiculous.
That reminds me of a blogger, though, who said Elizabeth Edwards, this was in jest, but Elizabeth Edwards wishes her husband, John, was a black woman.
I did see that.
Liz in Elkhorn, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, I really agree with what your guest said about there's sort of an expectation that the woman follows along the husband and kind of subsumed in that. And it seems like we expect the candidates' wives to passively come along and smile and wave. And I was really impressed by Howard Dean's wife in the last round of presidential elections because she works as a doctor. She did not go on the campaign trail. She has her own life, and she pursues it. And I don't think it's right that people expect that the candidate's wife should be giving up whatever she does to go on the campaign trail. And then they take pot shots at her appearance and her actions. I mean, she's a different person. She is not the person running for the office.
Well, and as you'll recall, however, she ended up getting on the campaign trail because she was so criticized for not campaigning for her husband, and the Dean camp was afraid that it was hurting him that his wife wasn't showing up. I mean, she was really in a no-win situation there, and I felt terrible for her because she used her family name, her maiden name, as a doctor, but got up on stage and introduced herself as Judy Dean.
Yeah, so she did. She ended up changing her mind due to the pressure. Michelle Obama, though, was also criticized, I'm not sure exactly if it was by women, for giving up, you know, for going on leave from her career as an attorney to campaign.
Yeah, actually, it was. The one I remember seeing, I forget the name of the writer offhand, but it's a woman writing for, I think it was Slate. It was either mm-hmm. Salon or Slate. And I remember reading that piece and really being puzzled how she could make all these assumptions about Michelle Obama's motives without talking to Michelle Obama. And I remember when I gave up my column for the rest of the year, I left in mid-February of last year, and there were a lot of angry emails to me from women who thought I'd been forced out, who felt I was giving up my career, and the decision was all mine at the time. I had mm-hmm. very good reasons, in part just wanted to avoid even the appearance of a conflict of interest, but there were a lot of assumptions being made. At the same time, there was a whole other group of women applauding my decision, as supportive of my husband. So if your goal is to please everyone, go nowhere, say nothing, because mm-hmm. you're never going to be able to do it.
Yeah. Boy, and then there was some negative coverage as well of Elizabeth Edwards after she announced her her reoccurrence of cancer.
Yeah.
And that decision, didn't that surprise you?
I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I wrote about it. I saw her. I had never met her before. And I saw her the following Monday. She came to Cleveland, and I spent time with mm-hmm. her. And our editor had asked me to write a column about it. And to me, the whole notion of all these so-called experts who've never seen any of her diagnostics, have never met her, giving prognoses for reporters on television and newspapers about how long she might live was beyond appalling. Mm-hmm. And all these opinions about what she should or shouldn't do because she has children, you know, her observation of that was very interesting. Women, not just women, people who've had cancer overwhelmingly understood why she was doing what she was doing.
Yeah. You know who we didn't really talk about? We talked about most of at least the major party, or the leading major party candidates and their wives. But Mitt Romney's wife, Anne, I mean, she's getting some coverage, too, but it's not too negative, is it?
So far, not that I've seen it. She's been rather funny at times, it looks like. She's been, you know, supportive and humorous, and I've been impressed with what she has said so far. I think she's got her hands full. You know, he's been dealing with some of the press. You know, the story about the dog being strapped to the roof of their car, the hood of their car, in a cage when they were traveling played very well for him. So I think she's got other things to think about right now.
Yeah. Sherry in Clintonville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am enjoying listening to your talk on wives, I think it highlights another issue, and that's what I was saying, that women, even in administrative roles like operations officers, et cetera, are expected to take a less assertive role. You know, when you look at things, they're with their male counterpart. When their male counterpart steps up to the plate mm-hmm. and is directive and assertive, you know, people applaud that leadership as transformational. And when women step up to the plate and they don't appear nurturing and compassionate, they appear more directional, mm-hmm. and they are looked at as being aggressive. And you see it all the time. As I work in the administrative field and as I'm studying at the doctorate level, the literature is just full mm-hmm. of that information. And I think our candidates are, you know, yeah. much more exposed, our mm-hmm. female candidates and our mm-hmm. Female political figures are much more exposed to
Sure. I have to jump in because we're all just 30 seconds for our guest to respond to that. These perceptions still exist?
They do, but I have two quick responses. Mm. The thing that will most change that is how women respond to those women. Mm-hmm. And if we're supportive and we call people on their negative stereotypes to these women, that will help. Secondly, I do see if Hillary is indeed the next president, I think of what an African-American trial lawyer told me, juries will listen to her more carefully and more closely if there's a woman president. Women professors will be taken more seriously if there's mm-hmm. a woman president. I mean, I think some of those stereotypes will really evaporate once mm-hmm. we have more women in leadership.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Connie Schultz, author of And His Lovely Wife. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.